Hi, it's Tim Hagen, and welcome to another episode of Ask the Coach. Now, when we talk about feedback, most people start to think about feedback as something that is negative or constructive. And why is that? Well, I think one of the major reasons is we have a very conditioned set of behaviors. And what I mean by that is very often, we are only used to getting constructive feedback. So when I go out and do public speaking, it's one of the first things I do is I say, how many of you, when you get called into the boss's office or somebody in corporate America gets called into the office, what's your first reaction of what's going to happen in that office? I've never once had anybody say something positive, such as, good, my promotion's finally here. What I typically get is negative, fear, I'm in trouble, uh-oh, am I being fired, what did I do wrong? And why is that? Because we've conditioned it. We've conditioned that to become a part of who we are in our workplace. And it is so sad because feedback can be a really, really powerful thing. Let me share a quick story with you. Years and years ago, I worked at IBM. And I was on the IBM Co-op, the college internship program. And it was one of the best experiences of my life. I loved it. Loved my bosses, loved working there, loved everything about it. But my start wasn't so great. The first probably 5 to 6 months, I didn't know what anyone was talking about. I didn't know what anyone was referencing. They were using terms I didn't understand. And then it hit me. I was alongside electrical engineers, computer science majors. I was an adult education major. I did not understand this stuff. And I went to my boss and I said, look, Martha, I'm going to go back to the YMCA where I used to work. I understand that stuff. And she said, wait a minute. I didn't hire you because you had great grades. I hired you because you needed a chance. I gave you that chance. I also didn't hire you because you were a quitter. And that hit me, and it hit me really hard. And at that point, emotionally, I was not in a position to quit. And I said, well, okay, I'll give it a little while longer. And she said, okay. And I started to get coached and mentored, and she paired me up with a very veteran fellow college student who became a great system engineer by the name of Roberto Garcia. And over time, I started to realize I kept getting called into Martha's office. And I had the same conditioned belief that other people had. Oh, I'm in trouble again. And so finally, one day, I started to go the other direction. I took the long route to get back to my desk. Well, she figured out what I was doing and immediately went to my desk, sat on my desk, and waited for me one day. As I walked in the back entrance of this office area, she looked at me and she said, why are you avoiding me? And I said, what do you mean? And I hadn't thought it that far ahead, so I knew I was in trouble. She said, Tim, I'd like to see you in my office. Immediately I thought, oh my gosh, I'm in trouble. But something happened, and it was a defining moment. See, every day Martha called me in and gave me one dose of feedback and one observation. And sometimes it was positive. Sometimes it was constructive. Sometimes it was just to see how I was doing. And she sat me down and she shut her office door and she said, why do you think I bring you in the office every day? And I said, well, I guess I don't know. Probably because, you know, I'm in trouble or I'm doing stuff wrong. She said, no, I bring you in here because I care. And at that moment, it hit me like a ton of bricks. My relationship with feedback immediately, instantaneously became positive. And I thought to myself, wow, here I am avoiding this person who cares about me. As corny and cliche as that comes off, I then started to seek her help. I became a stand-up presenter in front of hundreds of people. I would literally give my presentations to her and some other directors in the company in large rooms pretending I had an audience of 200 people. And they would give me feedback on what I did well and what I needed to improve and some observations and techniques and strategies. And all of a sudden I realized, man, this is like free training. And the more I seek feedback, I get to decide what I'm getting feedback on. See, feedback is a really, really loaded gun because we have a belief system in this country, in the United States, that feedback is constructive. It's about something you did wrong. Feedback is one of the healthiest things that we could possibly provide one another. And let me share this with you. When you're giving feedback, go into it with a conscious or conscientious thought. don't just give feedback for the sake of feedback. And we share this in our Progress Coaching Training course. The goal of feedback is to not just give feedback. The goal of feedback is to give feedback that is accepted and strategically utilized. Let me repeat that. The goal of feedback is not to just give feedback. Rather, the goal of feedback is to provide feedback that is received well and strategically utilized. And if the people giving feedback went into it with that thought process in mind, the people receiving feedback will become more accepting. They will become more plausible participants in the acceptance of feedback. The second thing I would share with managers or people giving feedback, use positive words. Let me give you an example. When I coach youth sports and I coach a volleyball team, I try not to look at a kid and say, oh, by the way, as I'm looking at what you're doing wrong with your setting, I don't say you're doing this wrong. I said, I think you have an opportunity to set better if you did this. And what my experience has been is kids receive it more effectively. I think the same thing holds true with adults. So when we use positive words such as opportunity, observation, perspective, share, would you mind if I shared a perspective of where I think you have an opportunity to improve more, is so much more accepted than I'm so frustrated with you, Bob. Here's what you're doing wrong. See, when we lead with emotion, which is my third suggestion, the emotion becomes the focus, not the message. When we lead with, I wanted to bring you in here, Joanne, I'm got to tell you, I'm really frustrated. She's not going to hear much after that. All she's going to know is, wow, my boss is upset with me. So the suggestions are use positive words, realize the goal of feedback is to give feedback that is accepted well and strategically utilized. Try to insert the word opportunity. Let me give you a fourth suggestion. One of the best things that we can do when we give feedback is something that we call a permission-based question. See, a permission-based question does something that is very, very strategically received well. When you ask someone for permission, Bob, would you mind if I shared a perspective of where you have an opportunity to improve? See, here's what happens. When someone invites that in, they lower the wall. That wall is called defensiveness. Does it mean it comes crashing down and they accept everything you say? Of course not. But they become more accepting. So it leads me to the other side of the coin, so to speak. The receivers of feedback. Here's the thing that will always be at the battle of feedback. Whether giving, but I'm going to focus on receiving. Emotion versus the message. And what I mean by emotion is also emotional interpretation. See, we get very caught up in who said what and why, not what the message was that could help me. I'll give you a great example of this. In the workplace, you hear these terms such as 360-degree feedback assessments. Those assessments are where fellow employees or fellow managers might provide feedback on what you do well and where you have an opportunity to improve. What is the traditional response when people get that information? It isn't, wow, I can learn from this. Typically, it's, I wonder who said that. See, we've become very cynical. So here are my suggestions for the reception of feedback. One, as simple as this sounds, have an opportunity type mindset, an opportunistic type mindset. I always share with myself and then with other people something I learned from a book called Stress for Success by Jim Lohr. Fantastic book. And one of the things that he always stressed was to ask yourself the following question. What opportunity does this present me? And psychologists call it framing. If we do that when we're about and or in the midst of getting feedback, we become more accepting of the feedback no matter what the source is. Number two, the biggest advice I can give people is seek feedback before it's given. See, when we get feedback before it's given, one, that walk to the office, much like I was describing when Martha brought me back to her office, that becomes a really long walk. But when you go in and say, do you have 6 or 7 minutes? I'd like to chat with you and get some feedback on last week's presentation. They become more thoughtful in their response because you're seeking the feedback. See, when we seek feedback, we make it easier for other people to give. Number three, one of the things that we've gone through in the United States and in the corporate workplace is we have a very negative connotation, a very negative relationship with this thing called change. I mean, how many people get a warm, fuzzy feeling when they hear the word change? What do you typically see in, you know, the workplace today when someone says, well, we've got some more changes coming up? The immediate response is what? Oh, you got to be kidding me. It's almost an immediate, like Pavlovian response. So what I want you to think about is, change is a wonderful thing. Let me give you another analogy. A lot of times when we think about the term aggressive salesperson, when we think about that term, how many of us really get a warm, fuzzy feeling? Not many, right? But then when we change our perspective with things, and that is the key to the reception of feedback. When we think about those things, it becomes more paramount to change our relationship. So going back to our sales example, if people don't have a positive relationship with an aggressive salesperson, they're usually thinking about it from one perspective. But what if you were in a small company, there was no money in the bank, the credit line's used up, nobody is going to get paid and make their mortgage or their rent payments that month? How many people now want those aggressive salespeople on their team? And all of a sudden, when I do that publicly, people start to go, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. And they start to think about it a little bit differently. So one of the things that we have to do is help people change their relationship with this thing called change. Change is a wonderful thing. Can you imagine, and I hope you, if you listen to this radio show, and if you want to send me an LOL or post that on the underneath the radio show link, that would be awesome. Can you imagine someone coming into your office and saying, you know, Bob, I got to tell you, I really want to improve this year, but if you could help me avoid change that comes with it, I sure would appreciate it. Improvement, performance, attitude, behavior, skill, it all comes with change. So the reception of feedback is as critical as the giving of feedback. So in summary, when we give feedback with positive words, with a goal in mind, with an opportunistic type of framework, the receivers who are in a proper mindset, people who seek feedback before it's given, and have a healthy relationship with change, that is a wonderful workplace. I hope this has helped. This is another episode of Ask the Coach with Tim Hagen. Thanks, everybody.